I'm super happy. Are you happy? Welcome to the Be You, Find Happy podcast. Here you'll find tips and tricks to inspire you on your way to happiness, to live a courageous life of authenticity, and learn how to speak your truth with grace. I'm Michaela Johnson, and welcome to our podcast. Welcome back to the Be You, Find Happy podcast, guys. I was listening to the playback of this episode today with Susie, and there are so many pearls in here. You are going to want to stay for the whole thing. We talk about instant gratification. We talk about how to truly be rich in your life. And I'm not just talking like emotional rich. I'm talking like financial rich. We talk about confidence, all things, boundaries, and how you communicate and the narrative you tell yourself. And there's just so much good stuff in here. And Susie, Oprah contributor, Marie Claire, Forbes, Today Show, she is everything. Her energy is contagious. You will hear it. And I do have to make a brief little apology because there's a bit of a delay in some of our dialogue, but I just didn't want to lose the authenticity of the energy. So we kept the full edit. So I hope that you can kind of hear past the little delays for all of the lovely pearls. And also, if you have not hit subscribe or like on this podcast and you want to keep this podcast going, please take a moment, click subscribe, drop us a note, hit the stars, let us know what you think about this. And without further ado, here is Susie Moore, confidence expert.
Hi, Michaela. I figured it out.
Fantastic. Yay.
Yay. We connect again.
I can't believe it. I'm so excited to talk to you today just because, like, I've missed you so much since that while.
I know. Wasn't that fun?
It was really just an epic experience. I really felt like everybody that I met and all of the speakers and the food, everything was just phenomenal.
I agree about the food. I absolutely agree. It was so good. And I hope we could do it again next year.
Oh, yeah. And they even talked about reunions and stuff. I mean, so fantastic. And I feel like everybody there, it was just such a cool community of people.
I agree. And I'm so happy we're doing this also. I mean, what a cool like side effect.
Totally cool side effect. And so for the listeners who are probably like, what are they talking about? Susie and I met at the Outwild retreat. And this has just been such like a flow process for me because I had Sonny on the podcast and then ended up attending her retreat and then met you and now you're on the pod. I mean, it just feels like life's just flowing like a river.
Isn't that wonderful? I think that life is very generous and it's meant to flow easily.
So true. It's when we let it.
Yes, exactly. We're the ones that get in the way.
We drop big boulders in the middle of our path just for fun.
Yeah, why not? It's so funny.
Oh, and that reminds me, you and Keith did the river rafting too.
We did. Did you do it?
I did. And it was, exhilarating and exuberant and terrifying.
I thought it was interesting.
And freezing. I'm never going
river. It was so cold. I know. I think I still have like a bit of trauma from the cold water, but it was totally fun. And it's good to do new things. And it's really good to push yourself.
Totally. So could you take a few minutes and tell the listeners all about you and what you do?
Yes. So I'm Susie Moore and I'm a author and a life coach and columnist. And one thing that I love to do, an area where I'm really specializing right now, is helping people become just confidently more visible in their life, in their business, and encouraging them to just kind of, you know, take more risks and not to be afraid to be seen. Because I think once you put yourself out there in a loving, you know, authentic way, a lot of good things can come your way.
It's so true. But it takes like a lifetime of like letdowns and learnings and different experiences, I think, to become confidently who you are. And that is what we're going to talk about today.
Yay! It's my favorite topic.
Yay. So you wrote a book called, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, but it's What If It Does Work Out? And you're talking about side hustles. Can you tell us a little bit about the book?
Yes, I started my side hustle because I had my corporate job, which I liked. I had, my background's in software and tech, and I knew that I wanted to work for myself. I knew it was going to, it'd be very easy not to do it, right? The things that are very easy to do are also very easy not to do. So I just thought, how can I make this as easy as possible? So I started, side hustling at the weekend, kind of testing it out, seeing how it felt, coaching people. And I really liked it. And once my business, started to grow, I wanted to go big, right? I didn't want to have like a small dream, like side hustle. I wanted to go big with it and like eventually make it my full-time business. And that's when I started leveraging the media. I started, pitching myself to different publications like Business Insider and Marie Claire. And again, not being in my own way about it, just thinking that it was possible and taking the action, I got a lot of the results that I wanted. And a lot of the people who came to me just kind of wanted to know how it was kind of so easy to start a side hustle and how it was so easy to kind of to leave a job and to kind of go all in on yourself. And nothing's easy, right? Or perfect. And there's certainly a lot of fear involved with a lot of big life changes. But I guess I wanted to distill a lot of the lessons that I'd learned. So I could just put in the hands of people who, had a dream, some very practical steps in how you can achieve it.
I love what you said, that I just went along thinking it was possible and then taking action. And I think that's a real big component to the confidence piece, because a lot of us, I think, struggle with that action component. Like, we have a great idea, or we have a friend who's doing a killer job with an MLM company. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to us putting the pen to the paper, it's just terrifying. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that this is the problem, right? I mean, if we simply refuse to think so much and just had this bias towards action, imperfect action, massively imperfect, accepting that, good enough is good enough, and taking a step is always going to be better than not taking a step. You're always going to achieve something through, moving forward and taking action, even if, you make mistakes, versus just standing still. I think if we could just, chill out a bit and not expect everything to be perfect, not expect everything to be, easy, but just, move forward anyway and be curious about the process. Like, not only would we kind of relax and enjoy it, but I think we'd get a whole lot done. But we're just too busy thinking and worrying and thinking that we have to, get things, just right. And that's just simply not true.
Do you think it comes from a space of like a fear of failure? Like, we overthink it and we overanalyze it because we feel like maybe if we do that, then we're going to have all of our ducks in a row and everything will be just right.
Yeah. And like, when has that ever happened? I don't even know where my ducks are. And that doesn't stop me. I think that I think too that perfectionism is to do with anxiety. It's nothing to do with high standards. We think that it is, and we like to believe that it is, but my standards are high, but I don't worry about being perfect ever, because I don't think that's my job.
I love this idea that you said, and I'm currently working on a book as well, and it kind of touches on this subject of this idea that, your standards can be high, but you don't have to, but you're never going to achieve perfectionism. Mm-hmm. I love that, what you said. It's so true. And I think sometimes what happens when we do spend all that time thinking and worrying and stressing and analyzing and planning and not taking a step, when we do finally take a step, we're like, oh, wow, I didn't think of this and I didn't think of that. And then there's all these things to deal with anyway.
Oh, it's so true. I mean, nothing comes from thinking. You don't get really any insights. You don't get any clarity. You don't get any information from thinking, right? It just comes from, the million things that go into running a business, you don't know until you start running it. And then you're like, I'm really glad I didn't know about all of this when I got started.
Because I probably
wouldn't have done it. You have to learn as you go. It's just, the way that life is. I mean, anything worth doing, you have to learn, right? It takes some time. It takes some practice. So
one of the things, I took your PR class,
awesome.
Which was so awesome. It was so fun. And I do have a PR agent. So I really was curious about this, like, be your own PR agent idea. I was like, well, that's really interesting, And I loved what you said about not waiting, put it down and submit. And so for me, where I struggle a lot of times is not so much with those short, like 500 word submissions, but it's the book. It's the book, you know, it's the 2000 words a day kind of thing. What about people who are taking on side hustles that do require kind of a bit of that leg, you know, that work up front? How do you promote or encourage people to set a schedule that, you know, you were working when you started yours? How did you stick with it while running another job?
Well, it's never going to be like easy, and, you know, you'll never have like, you know, the perfect calendar where your week is just, you know, stress-free and it's all just, you know, this kind of, you know, perfect marriage of things all at once. It, you know, things don't always go to plan, and sometimes projects take longer than you think, and there are delays, and sometimes, you know, people can let you down. And so you never, there's a lot that you can't control, but I think that if you focus on what you can control, and if you're just constantly remembering, there's a question that I love to ask myself. I'm like, why is it necessary that I succeed? Like, why is it necessary, right? And I ask people this, so they're working on something, you know, like a project or like, you know, I mean, really anything, even just launching their own brand. I'm like, why is it necessary for this to succeed? And when you kind of get to the bottom of it, it's probably because there's something that you're giving that's very important. And I think if you keep that in mind always, like you always have your why in mind and you focus on what you can control and you have a bit of a sense of humor, I swear you need one, like in marriage, right? Like you need a sense of humor.
Totally.
Then I think that, you know, it doesn't have to be such a struggle. Like if I think, okay, there are all these things that I can control, great, put them in my calendar. I don't even have a to-do list, right? Just put them in your calendar. Like, you know, work with the time that you have. Everyone has the same amount of time in a day, right? Saying you don't have time is just, you know, another way of saying that this isn't a priority. So if you keep your why in mind, then your priorities, I think, become clearer. And then you just do what you can do. And then the rest you just have to surrender.
So we are so connected, I swear. This is why we hit it off so well. Literally, the podcast, my podcast is coming out tomorrow, which when this airs will be last week. Literally, I say, what is your why for doing what you're doing? Because if you're setting a goal that is to lose 20 pounds and it's because, you know, you want your spouse to love you, that's probably not the right why. If you are setting that goal because you are a diabetic and don't want to take the pill anymore, then that's a more, you know, that's a more reasonable why. And I just love that you said that because I totally agree. And I think we often lose sight of our why, and that sometimes our why is driven by people around us and not even ourselves.
I know. And that's why it's important to like to check in with yourself. I mean, every goal has a reason, right? There's a reason behind, and you know, why we want anything. And everyone's goals are very different. Like when you really think about it, yeah, like you may have revenue goals and fitness goals and so forth, but yours are very singular. You know, they're yours. You have this one unique life. It's, you know, it's you. That's why you can't even pay too much attention to other people's opinion. You just have to really always be checking in with yourself because you know what feels good and right for you. Only you can know.
So true. I recently started doing this cleanse, which I feel amazing. I'm day 10,
congrats.
21 days. And actually, I know it's been so much harder than I thought it was.
I could imagine.
But a lot of the people around me are really not pleased with this cleanse. Because it's totally affecting them as well. Because
it's
I'm not
social.
Having that morning cup of coffee or exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I'm having to really connect with my why and be like, you know what? I'm doing this for myself and I'm looking for support at this time. And it's 21 days and y'all need to get on board or get off the train, you know?
And you know, once you're serious about something, people back off. Like it's interesting, you know, like if you are set and you are unwavering, if you're 100%, then people just kind of get it. Like I find that when we're wavering, you know, when we're like kind of, you know, 90% in, then, you know, there's kind of room for this decision fatigue and back and forth and, you know, other people having an opinion. But when you're just resolute, it's funny how like the world can just like follow suit with you.
It's so true. And that's true of all things. Mm-hmm. I think in everything that we do, if we come at it with that space of confidence, like, nope, this is what's happening. People are like, oh, they've got it figured out. Okay. There's something.
Yeah. The energy isn't like open for discussion. It's just like, this is how it is for me right now.
It's so true. And I put my foot down with my husband and said the same thing. I'm like, hey, this is what I'm doing. And, you know, I'm looking for your support here. And so what's funny is we went out of town over the weekend and there were a lot of opportunities for me to cheat. And he even was like, don't do that, you know? And I was like, okay, so that's cool. You know, he finally got on board with it and was supportive.
That's awesome. See, like, and it's, I mean, it's 21 days, right? Be over soon.
21 days.
And you'll celebrate it properly. You know, I think that we are just such a quick gratification culture now where we don't want to hold out for anything, right? We want instant everything. I mean, I see people, you know, spending 45 minutes, you know, putting together a perfect Instagram post or longer, because that's an instant thing versus the behind the scenes book, right? Which is like hours, nights, drafts, editing, completely thankless work, right? But, and it, because we don't want to hold off, like we want the praise now, we want the likes now, we want all the, you know, all the stuff now. And there is so much, it is so good for your self-esteem to do what you say you're going to do and to do something that delays your gratification. It is, that is so good for your confidence.
It's so true. And I think that you touch on something so important, that when it's harder or takes longer, we almost get a bigger win.
We do.
We get a bigger sense of success.
Like, what do you think about it, right? Like, just say you have a friend who you're meant to meet, I don't know, for like a run, right? Say you run. If you're meant to meet your friend for a run at like 7 a.m. and she flakes, right? Then she flakes again. Then she flakes again. Like, what's your opinion of her, right? It's the same for us. Like, you know, I'll sleep in today, I won't do it. That's how we start to think about ourselves. And when you know that you're like flaking all the time, how does that make you feel? You don't feel.
Oh my goodness. You know? That's so insightful. I've never thought about it like that before. I'm like, oh my God, I'm a flake
You're
to myself. Flaking.
Don't be a flake to yourself. No, you matter. And it's like, imagine that friend who's like always talking about what they're going to do. And you're like, oh, here we go. You know, here's what she's going to do, right? And then, you know, nothing gets done, versus a friend who's like, I'm going to do this, and like, you know, it's done, and what, the book has a published date, and, you know, the course is launched, or, you know, that speaking gig is booked, like whatever it may be. Then you're like, wow, this is like, this is someone I want in my life.
Wow. Yeah. I love that. I'm going to start really thinking about the narrative that I say to myself when it comes to confidence. I like that.
I think it's worth it. I think it's fun. Like, how would you judge somebody who said, you know what, I'm just pushing all this. And look, that's not to say we need to be machines, right? Like, I have days in my week where I do nothing and I just watch TV. Like, and that's awesome. But that's kind of planned. And that's why there's joy in it too.
Right. So I'm one of those people that has like borderline too many.
I love it. I'm with you. I'm not an essentialist at all. I love the book, but it's not for me.
I used to call them my creative outlets, right? And it felt like, oh, I just have a lot of creative outlets. But I realized that there's my creative outlets, right? Which is gardening. Yeah. I like gardening. So I'm in the garden, or hiking. That's a creative outlet for me. And then there's my straight side hustles. I'm starting to realize there's side hustles, like writing books and being a therapist and having a podcast and all those kinds of things. How do people get in trouble with side hustles, maybe spreading themselves?
I think you have to kind of know who you are. Like, I'm a person who likes to do a lot of things, and you are too. And that's okay. If, you know, if there's a return on these things for you, if they're, you know, all kind of not going anywhere and you feel exhausted all the time, like, you just want to check in with how you're feeling. I mean, your instinct just knows so much. But if your side hustles are, you know, and I believe they should be, like, depending on what your goals are, I'm guessing they're financial if someone has a lot of side hustles, then it's as simple as, and it's surprising how many people just don't do this, like, look every month at where your money's coming from. And you might be like, that's a huge passion project that doesn't make any money, but I love it so much. So great, keep it. But maybe you have like three or four things going on and one is really like slaying. Well, if you want to scale, then just, you know, like, pay attention. Maybe it could even be easier than you think if you maybe just like double down a little bit on what's really working. So sometimes I think having a lot of things going on is just, you know, a signature of your personality. But sometimes too, it can be like a bit of a lack of commitment, or like maybe not spending the time, like just like looking at the numbers and knowing what's going to like work longer term. There's no perfect way. I think that, you know, our instincts know. but also you want to be like, depending on what your goals are, if they're financial, you want to know practically what's working. But to give yourself, permission and space to play around, because you will get there. If you kind of like consider all these different elements, you will get there. There's so much potential, Michaela, with side hustles now. I mean, more than ever, I see people like really like nailing it in really like weird and wonderful niches. So there's a lot of opportunity, which is such a good thing. You just kind of want to find the right opportunities for you, I think.
And I like how you described to look at it maybe more objectively and it from maybe a financial standpoint and take a look at, okay, well, really, realistically, how much time is this taking out of my week versus the return, either emotional return or financial return? And I think categorizing it like that is a really good way to prioritize.
Yeah,
and
like look, you always have a pleasure return too. Like sometimes you can just love something. And then, you know, like I have a friend who loves having a YouTube channel. It doesn't have a return yet, but that's a longer term play. Like YouTube just is. That's cool. But it's like, okay, well, you know, what income streams, like what do they make? You know, like, you know, 1 to 7 every month. And you sometimes just doing these exercises, I don't know why we avoid it, but we do, don't we? We're like, I don't know. Like I have a feeling that this works, or I have a feeling.
We don't want to know the truth. <don't. laughs>
I know. And if you're like, wow, that project that I keep emailing about and, you know, doing social media posts for, that drives like, you know, less than $1,000 a month. Like that's not worth it anymore. Maybe.
Right. Right. So as you were talking, I was thinking of something else that comes up a lot. It comes up for me, and I'm certain from talking with others, it comes up for a lot of people, which is getting your worth. Yeah. How, you know, how do you encourage people to really put the value on what they're doing? I know I devalue what I'm doing a lot.
It's very common.
So how do you encourage people to deal with that in a positive way?
I think it's great to have some role models and some people in your life actually who are rich. Like I think it's very healthy to read autobiographies of very successful people. And I think it's great to have people in your circle who are far wealthier than you, because it does open you up. And I come from a poor family. And so my family has a lot of money issues and just a lot of mindset stuff, like that whenever I'm back with my family, I have to be very conscious of my own thinking. But I'm very intentional about the friendships that I have and the people that I have in my life, because I want to be inspired. I want, you know, my mind to just always be opening up and seeing things in a new way. I don't want to be around like people who only have small dreams, right? And sometimes when you're around people who have very lofty dreams, it does unlock something within you. It's almost like a bit of a permission thing that happens. So I think if you can focus on having, and they don't even have to be in your physical life. Like there are so many different ways to connect, you know, online with all sorts of different people. And look, I've invested money in masterminds, which are expensive, but they've had such a return for me because of just like the thinking, like having my thinking shifts. Americans love this expression, level up. Like that's used a lot, level up. Yeah. I mean, whatever that expression means to you, I think that it works, but it doesn't happen by accident. It doesn't like just so happen that you have this perfect friendship group or this awesome role model or mentor. Like, I think we have to be really intentional about it. Seek it out, pay for it if we can, and don't apologize for it.
I like that. I do think that sometimes we get comfortable in the relationships that we have, and we don't feel a need maybe to expand our horizon in that way. And I agree. I know that's why, you know, when I was in college, it was such a great time because everybody there was forward thinking, you know, everybody there was exploring what could be. And I think as we get into our later phases of life, especially when we get married and have kids, we start to think, well, this is what life is rather than what am I going to make life?
Yeah, because it's entirely up to you. I mean, if we could just all get excited for a second about the possibilities of our lives, like just to remember them. I mean, they are infinite, what it is we could do with our body, with our, you know, with our brains, with our, like, with our contribution, like whatever it is, like there's just so much within us that we just need to, I think, keep remembering that. And when it comes to your worth in particular, I think we need to start feeling a little bit differently about money, like talking about it, having a healthy attitude towards it. Like there's just some stuff, there's so much stuff around money, you know, like it's such a huge trigger for people. And I think that if we could just look at it in a different way, like I like to joke, you know, money is the root of all great vacations, right? Or money is the root of all philanthropy. Like, money is the root of a lot of wonderful things. So, like, what if that, what if that were your set point for how you're thinking, you know, about what you're charging and what it is that you're earning?
And that's such a great point. People have such great goals that are philanthropic and things like that. And without money, those are never going to happen. So, I mean, it is the root. Mm-hmm. You're right. It absolutely is. But I think there is like a stigma around talking about it.
Yeah, sure. And look, you don't have to give someone your W. Is it the W-2? Is that the income form or the W? No, I guess you don't have to like put it on.
I get those mixed up too.
You don't have to like put it on your blog. I mean, some people do, and that's interesting, you know. But I think one small thing that we could all do is, you know how if somebody's, like the people who talk about health are typically sick, you know, like healthy people generally don't talk about health.
People who talk about health.
Like typically sick. It's sick people who talk about health, right?
Yes.
Like
so
if there
true.
Are like a bunch of healthy people, they won't just be talking about their health over lunch, right?
Right. No, yes.
Yeah, I think that when we talk about money, like everyone's like, this is expensive. That's, you know, often like it's the basis of conversations in a negative way. You know, like, And so like, what if just like that small thing shifted, like refuse to talk about money unless it's going to be in an intentional, like useful way.
I love that. And I was just having this conversation with someone the other day that every time I go into this certain restaurant, and I think it's because the owner knows I'm a psychotherapist. I get a lot of the health topic, like a lot of, I'm dealing with this and I'm dealing with that. And I'm like, I would love to hear this language just shift a little bit and be like, today I went for a walk and it was a great day. That alone can shift so much of our perception, but I've never thought about it in the context of money before.
Well, you'll notice now, like you'll just see how people talk about money but it's always like with an undertone of everything's expensive. So like if you just are conscious of that and you just don't contribute to it at all, like change the subject, it's boring, you know? And when you do talk about money, to talk about it maybe about in terms of your goals or in terms of like something useful that you've learned or something exciting to do with money, that's different.
And you know what else even I've noticed, like if you even just think about Amazon reviews or Yelp, people are quick to do a 4-tap star or a 5-tap star and no review. But if something went wrong, then they're quick to actually comment. You know, rarely do people be like, oh my gosh, this was so amazing. I bet it's like 20% positive and like 80% negative.
It's true. I mean, it's really, really true. And just because someone's talking about something or, you know, there's a conversation, it doesn't mean that you have to, I mean, you can direct it differently or you can just self-direct. So you don't have to just like be part of something that's always happening.
I love that. And I'm going to be really mindful of that. I even notice that when I'm eating out at restaurants and people talk about the food and stuff. So I'm going to be really mindful of the financial element of that, those conversations and how they're driven.
Yeah, it's interesting. Even when someone visited my sister recently, she's got two sons and we were in the shop and my nephew was like, I want this. And she said, we can't afford it. And I don't even know if that's true because, I mean, the thing is, can you afford a toy? Yes, you can. It's not a priority. Right.
Right.
So
yes.
I actually said to her, may I offer something? Like I observed something today. May I offer something? And she said yes. And she's like, and I said to her, just never say I can't afford it. You say, you know, that's not important right now. Like just these small changes make a big difference. And never say, like, just don't bring that language into your home. You know, like we can't afford it. That, you know. And so, I mean, like, number one, it's not even true, right? The things that we say that we can't afford, they're just not important for us right now. And also we don't just... words matter, right? They're very powerful. And she said that she's never said that since. Like those words have not come out of her mouth like at all ever since. And she said it's made a difference. It makes her already feel wealthier, even though nothing's really changed.
Wow. Mm-hmm. You know, I was thinking about that. And I know when you talk about priorities, same thing. If my son asks me for something when we're out and about, I always say, well, we can take a look at what's in your piggy bank and then we can come back and see if that's something you would still want. So it puts that choice on him to look at his money and go, oof, do I want to dive in? And you know what's funny? I say that to him all the time. My kid has more money than I do. He is such a saver. Like, he's like,
wonderful. Nope. I mean,
he will wait until something is like broken and busted to go get something.
Well, that's also good for the environment. Like, think about it, right? That's also very green of him. So congrats, young man.
So what if somebody is just, you know, feeling like, wow, I love all this idea, but I'm so afraid to take on a new project. I'm so afraid to take on a side hustle because I'm stretched thin or whatever other fill in the blank that they have.
Yeah. First of all, I'd say that's very normal. Like, that's cool. I get it. You know, life is very busy. We don't have, you know, time often. We don't feel like we have time to add a lot of things. The question I sometimes ask people when I'm working with them is, okay, so it's 5 years from now, however old you are now. So maybe you'll be 45, maybe you'll be 30, maybe you'll be 70, like whatever age. Like, just say you don't do it and nothing happens then in 5 years. Because, you know, 1 year becomes five very quickly. And like a month, you have to just quickly the time passes, right? Anyway, no matter what you do. And so I just say, you know, like, let's just future trip for a second and just say that you don't do this. Like, will it matter? Mm. Like, will it matter? And you'll be surprised. People are like, well, in 5 years, everyone thinks, well, in 5 years, I'll have everything figured out. And it's like, well, that depends on what you do now.
Right. It's not just going to get, you're not just going to time warp to 5 years and have it all done. Right.
Right. Even I was coaching somebody once a long time ago, and she actually wanted to drink less alcohol. And I was like, okay. But she's like, yeah, but I don't want to do that yet. And I'm like, okay, well, just say nothing changes for 5 years. Like, say 5 years from now, she would have been, I think, 40. And she's like, oh God, like, I don't want to know what that will be like, you know? And so, yeah, I think just remember that, you know, that tomorrow just always, you know, depends on what we do today, and the time will pass anyway. And the things that are very easy to do are also very easy not to do. And maybe you can just like get started with like one small step each day.
The time will pass anyway.
Yeah.
Such a good reminder. The time is going to go on.
It's whether you do it or not. Yeah. So don't worry about the time involved, right? Because the time's just going to pass on by.
Speaking of time passing by, sometimes I get this sense that I've missed the window. How do you hear people say that? Like, it's already been done, or I've missed the window, or I should have done that back when, blah.
Yeah, that's an illusion. I mean, that's such an interpretation of like whatever, like you just believe to be about something. I used to think that. I'd say, you know, I've missed the blogging window. I needed to start in 2009 for optimal SEO. Right. And look, there's truth in that. It's great if you started a blog 10 years ago. But there's a Chinese proverb, right? I love it. I use it all the time. The Chinese proverb is, the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is today.
Ooh, money. So good.
And the thing is, I mean, sometimes I think that's a bit of an excuse. Right? Because it's like, I'm off the hook with my blog because I kind of missed out anyway. A good excuse is still an excuse. Ugh. And
you know, it's funny. I started my blog in 2008 and quit in 2009.
Oh, do you know what? I started my YouTube channel like 6 years ago, and I went like gung-ho for a year, and then nothing until like this year. And I'm like, you know, because you know what? I wasn't getting any instant gratification, wasn't getting instant sales, wasn't getting all these things that I get through my other channels. And now I'm like, damn, I wish I kept up. But the only thing I can do is keep recording YouTube content now. That's it.
So I quit my blog because other people were irritated with it.
Oh, that's the worst reason to do anything.
I know. I've learned so much in 10 years. But
oh,
other
no.
Other people were like, I don't like that you're sharing so much about life on this thing and da, da, da. And so that's why I quit it. It was creating a lot of stress in my family and friendships. And so I quit it. And I often wonder, like, I did that completely out of a fear-based space of feeling afraid I was hurting people. And could I have stepped back and looked at my why? And maybe reframed it a little bit and kept going, and I didn't. So now I'm a lot more conscious of my why. And if I'm quitting something, I'm quitting something because I've decided it's not producing in the way I'd like it to.
I'm happy that you said that, Michaela, because look, in life, if you want to do anything worthwhile, you're going to ruffle some feathers. Right? Like somebody is going to be upset somewhere, right?
So true. Yeah.
Maybe somebody in your home. It may be the million people out there who love to have an opinion, you know, but that's kind of, somebody left this mean comment on my YouTube saying that I look like a man, right? And I'm like, that's not why I stopped. It was actually my laziness that stopped me, but I was like, you know what? But I was like, you know what? That is their opinion. And you know what? I don't know if I look like a man, but if I do, that's such a superficial comment. You know,
you definitely do not look like a man. As someone who has spent a lot of time with you in person recently, and you don't.
Well, thank you. But I mean, it's of no consequence to me. I mean, what someone could say that I look like an aeroplane, like whatever. It's just kind of not my business. If I, you know, in my integrity can just like speak the truth, be sensitive, right? Because a lot of my stories do involve other people. I'm just very sensitive about it, and I do my best. And I don't expect myself to be perfect. And if something happens, if someone wants to have a conversation with me about something, I will listen.
I love that. Yeah. I love that.
That's what you can do.
I will listen. I will listen.
Yeah, but I won't necessarily
change anything.
Doesn't
mean I'm going to do anything different.
Yeah, I will listen and I'll see how it feels. Yeah.
Oh. So on the flip side of that, right? So so there's the underconfident people, but then there's, in my opinion, there's the overly confident people on, you know, social media who are out there just spamming their essential oil business, their Shakeology business, their whatever, you name it, you know, join my health and fitness accountability group, you know, whatever, get this peppermint oil and cure all of your diseases, whatever it might be. And I love all those things, by the way. I'm not dogging on anybody because I know a lot of my listeners do MLM, but
right.
You know, I think sometimes an overconfidence can look, to me, like almost like, you know, like less strong. Mm. What do you think about that?
I still think it's the real minority of people who are overconfident. Like that's not, no one's ever come to me saying, I feel like I'm too overconfident. Or, I mean, sometimes, you see people who are just kind of new and I guess they're figuring it out. I think that life takes care of it actually for a lot of people, you know, if they kind of really want to be gung-ho without maybe doing the necessary work, without taking some necessary steps first and, you know, kind of doing all the things that you want to do, you know, in your integrity as a business owner. I think just the world takes care of that. Like, as you know, like business, I don't want to say it's hard, but, you know, it has obstacles all the time. So if I know someone who's been in business for like over 5 years and profitable, I already salute them. I know what's gone into that. You know, and so I don't worry about any, like if someone's like, I'm the best, da, 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 I'd be like, great. Well, let's see. Like time reveals everything. And you have your lessons to learn. I have mine. Let's just do, you know, I'll do me, you do you.
So good.
Yeah, so that's true. What I think.
And I do think the world takes care of itself in that way for sure.
Well, if you look around in any industry or in any landscape, like who was active 5 years ago? And who's active now? Like who's like stood the test of just like, you know, time, change, challenges, competition, market changes, algorithm. I mean, all these things that you have to always be like so adaptable, right? And so problem solving focused
but yet also stay the course. It's an interesting dynamic. Like be willing to be permeable and adjust and make changes, but then don't lose sight. My right. PR agent actually told me, this was a while ago and I loved it. She said, this isn't a sprint. This is a marathon.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we're not looking at immediate, we're looking at building kind of a brand over time. And I love that. I love that idea mm-hmm. for anybody in any business, right? You're not looking to do this for 6 months or a year. You're looking to have sustainability. And I mm-hmm. love that.
Exactly. And I think that that's a question that I'm happy that my husband and I work together. We ask ourselves.
And he's also amazing, by the way.
Thank you. I think he's pretty fantastic.
You guys are a killer team. You really are.
I think the same of you and your husband. Look at us just climbing rocks and doing cool shit. But we think about like long term. Like, is this because, you know what? There are plenty of things you can do quickly to make money. Right. Yes. There are lots of like shortcuts if you just if you want to go for it, you know. So we have a longer game point of view. And even when sometimes you see other people making money all around you, doing, you know, selling things, and I'm like, okay, that's cool. That's not us, though. Like, knowing who you are will really, I think, give you a lot of peace.
Yeah. And I do think that's exactly what this podcast is all about. Being you, right? Mm-hmm. Finding you. Mm-hmm. So I recently talked on the podcast, the one that's coming out tomorrow, which will be last week when this one airs, about you actually. And, and our whole like rock climbing adventure and all of that. And this was before I knew that you were a confidence expert. Like I did not even until I connected with you on Instagram, like after the retreat was over, and I'm like, holy moly, she's doing all this, and this is incredible. And I just love that you are so exactly in person what you are on your social media, like, and everything that I've read about you to prepare for this since then. It's just like, oh man, this is so in alignment with everything that you are. I really talked about. And what I talked about was courage in community, and how people can be so much more courageous when they're supported. Mm-hmm. And I was curious, how do you think people can have more confidence and be more courageous when they're trying new things? And I'm asking you to share this with the listeners because I have my perception from being with you of what you might say, but I really want you to share because I feel so inspired.
Oh, this was actually what I was just about to say. I mean, look, Michaela, I'm no rock climber, you know what I mean? Like, that was so left field for both of us, I mean, to do that. And that's why I chose it, because I knew that I wasn't going to be good at it. It wasn't going to be like this natural strength, and it was completely uncomfortable. If we just did one crazy thing like a year like that, you would have the most interesting life, you know? And by the way, you're the best cheerleader. You're such a supportive person, which is so wonderful. Like, you really are cheerleading material. But I mean, the one thing that I say, you know, how do you build confidence? Great question. It's not how we think, right? Being confident people aren't just good at things, right? It's not like, oh yeah, when I'm good at all these things, I'll feel really confident. Confidence is being okay if you're not good at something and just feeling all right anyway. Right. Being able to like fail at something, not be the best at something, have something go, you know, a little bit, you know, unexpectedly, and still being okay, being willing to experience that negative emotion, knowing it's temporary and moving forward anyway. That is what a confident person will deal with any stuff that happens. It won't destroy them and they will still continue to go. That's it. It's as simple as that.
I love it. I love it. And, you know, this is so apropos because my 8-year-old, he's at this really interesting time. I've decided it's probably my least favorite age only because of everything from everyone around him. Like, this is the age where they start doing the so-and-so's from ours to get more blah, blah, blah. You know, they start doing that kind of, oh, I hate it. Hate this stuff. Mm-hmm. So this has been a really challenging age for me to like, just be present with him and not insert my emotional opinion on what he's dealing with and going through. Mm-hmm. And you know, he a lot of times will say, I can't do that because I'm not good at it. And so when you said, you know, it's to be okay if you're not great at something and move forward anyway, I'm gonna work with him on this because I love this idea that you know, you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be, you can suck.
You don't even have to be decent at something. You can be really bad at it. And congratulations. You know what? In fact, I was coaching a CEO recently and she had to let somebody in her team go. And it was the first time that she was doing it. And she was like, really, you know, it's a hard thing to do. And so we kind of, you know, prepared her for it and she had everything, you know, organized. And so she let the person go. And I said, how do you feel? And she's like, I don't think it went well. I didn't feel like, you know, I could have done better. Like, da 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 da. And I said, yeah, but you did it. Like, doesn't matter what the outcome is, right? Well, the outcome is, well, she's gone no matter what, right? That was kind of what the goal was. She was taken care of, like, in the coolest, kindest way, because the CEO is very nice and very generous. But I was like, okay, whatever you think, whatever small things you're, like, replaying in your mind that you would have done differently, doesn't matter. You did it. High five. High freaking five.
Well, and And you know, anytime something like that has happened where I failed, it's made room. Yep. And I say failed using that term, you know, but it's made room for something else. And what I love about any failures is they just become a Jenga block on the stack of things that I take with me into the next thing. So it's really never a failure.
Such an interpretation. And I think like, this is why I love the book Grit. And I think it's really a great book for parents. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes,
like when she studies all these people succeeding in like what, as a Navy SEAL, as a salesperson, as a high school teacher in a really rough neighborhood, right? It's like, it's just the grit. It's like, I'm just going to keep going. I'm just going to keep going. I'm just going to keep going. Like,
yes, grit. I use this term a lot with Tucker, my son. I often say,
And then also, I'm obsessed with this, right? It's like, this is where when we lose the need to be perfect, I swear the world belongs to you, right? It's like, I have this joke sometimes that I tell people, I'm like, if aliens came onto our planet right now, right, and observed us as humans, say a human who's never done anything before, yet they expect themselves to be completely perfect the first time, the aliens would be like, the world's gone mad. This is a crazy planet. Like, these people are out of their minds. Like, they've never done anything and they expect to be perfect, like, straight out of the gate. Yeah, we'll come back to this weird planet. You know, what, like, where did we ever get that idea? Like,
why did we get that idea?
This comes down to worthiness, right? But if we can just accept that we're worthy, whether we like it or not, right? Just whether you like it or not, no matter what you do, no matter what you have or haven't done, you're worthy. That is undeletable. Then I think this also becomes a lot easier too.
So true. And, you know, in circling back on the whole,
yeah,
it totally was a first for many of us, and definitely you and I felt a sense of accomplishment just by putting on the stuff. And
you went all the way to the top, girlfriend.
You know,
you totally slayed it.
I can't believe it.
I know. No, and look, you were amazing. And what else could you be good at if you gave yourself a chance, you know? And also, what else could you not be good at too? That would be fun also. Right?
Yes. Yes. Well, and just the art of trying for me felt like, you know, with a fear of heights like I have and stuff like that, the fear, you know, to trust the belay person. And let's face it, there were a lot of experienced climbers, including a world-renowned climber there, you know, that anxiety of like, oh gosh, everyone can watch me fail, you know. But there was just a sense of glorification just from getting on the wall at all. And I think that really built up my confidence. Just that, if I'd stopped right there, it probably would have still felt.
And I don't think we should deprive ourselves of that, right? Like, we're really depriving ourselves a lot of the time when we're letting our fear make our decisions. Like, think of just how big your world gets when you're constantly expanding your comfort zone just a little bit at a time. Your world becomes really, really big. And I think a lot of us have very small worlds and we don't realize it when there's just a whole lot that's just waiting for us. It's like right in front of us.
I hear so many people in my psychotherapy practice every week that are full of excuses. They're full of the reasons why they cannot. Yeah. And I try to encourage them and say, if we were to switch up that language a little bit and make it an I can statement, how would that change your life? You know, and it's like, oh my gosh, just like, you can't even think about that. That if I could tell my spouse this thing that's been bothering me or whatever.
Yeah, it's everything, right? Michaela, it's like,
oh, go ahead.
I didn't have PG or how PG this podcast. But I mean, asking for what you want in your relationship in every department. You know, it's like having like, yeah, sure, going rock climbing. That's definitely on the more kind of extreme side, right? And it's very Instagrammable. Like, what about if you haven't driven in a couple of years, like, you know, taking a short drive? These small things, like if we keep conquering them, we become the opposite of that flaky friend. We become that admirable friend, right? Right, where we're like, oh man, I just want to be like her. You become that person for yourself.
Yes. So true. It's so true. So how can people be more confident to be who they are and authentic to themselves in their relationships? What are some small steps they could take if they've been living kind of authentically, maybe within the shadow of the relationship?
I would say the first thing, and this can be a lifelong practice. It doesn't happen overnight. But I think just understanding your inherent worthiness, like you deserve to be here. We didn't ask to be here, right, Michaela? Like, And yet we're here on this earth at this time right now. Sometimes I even just like to, you know, have people think about all the things that had to happen for them to be here, like how their parents met, how their parents had to meet, like all of these miracles that had to happen, like for you to be here. I think that once we have a healthy, sincere self-esteem based on real worthiness, not like quick hits of worthiness, you know, which are external, but just kind of having a peace that you deserve to be here and you deserve to be happy and you deserve to have all the things that you want to be doing and have them all. If you just kind of work on that, everything becomes easier. But then just being that, like, just like constantly thinking, again, like flaky friend or, you know, awesome, admirable friend, like, I want to be that person. Just how can you be that person for yourself in small ways? Like, for example, I know someone doing this recently. She just wants to, she realized that she's spending like 95 minutes a day on Instagram. Such a lot of time, right? She could learn a whole language and be fluent in 2 months. You know, so I'm like, what could,
when you put it like that, yeah,
like
what, speaking French,
I mean truly, and that would be wonderful, like, okay, which one of your cool friends is really fluent in a language, you know? But it's like if we just maybe did something differently, like cut something back that isn't making us feel good, and then, you know, inserting something that makes us feel uncomfortable, just 20 minutes a day, whatever it is. Sometimes for people it's, you know, talking to strangers, and I don't mean in an unsafe way to get yourself, you know, like stabbed, but I mean, you know,
right.
Networking, you know, reaching out, like doing these things that feel a bit like, oh, don't know if I can. You can, it's all going to be fine. And just taking like small, and there's one thing that I do, which is like, sounds a little bit weird, but I always like to make myself feel a little bit uncomfortable. And so I ask for discounts where I know they'll say no. I know they'll say no. And I do this bar class and everyone just like kind of lies down and stretches until the teacher comes in and everyone stands up. I just stand up like the whole 10 minutes before the class starts because it's uncomfortable. Why not? You know?
I love that. Well, there's so much growth in that space of uncomfortability.
Yeah, like, and you can start to have fun with it. And then the things that used to make you uncomfortable don't anymore. And then you'll need bigger and bigger things. And then you might end up on the top of a rock somewhere. Like you, Michaela.
With Alex on the,
I know, no pressure.
It could happen. No pressure. But I love what you said too. You said it took a lifetime of practice. I loved when he said that. It really, because, you know, he dances on that.
Yeah,
wall.
It's like true. It's absolutely true. But he says that he pushes himself every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And he probably doesn't feel very confident at, mm-hmm. you know, at certain times either. It's, you know,
yeah.
But he does.
And that's
it
why
anyway.
How people keep getting better. That. So.
So as the world is getting bigger and our connection is getting larger, people are feeling smaller. They're feeling less important. How do you encourage people to feel confident when, you know?
Oh well, like we just see everyone's successes, kind of, you mean, all the time.
And you know, it just feels like, man, I'm so small. Ooh. I'm not there yet. I'm not, you know, Alex Honnold, or I'm not Ricky
Hollis.
Right. Or I'm not,
yeah,
you know,
that's
Susie
more like
Moore.
It. Yeah. I'm joking. Well, I think this is what I think. It's great because people are showing us what's possible all the time, right? Like, that's why I think jealousy can be a very useful emotion, or like pangs of envy. If you're like, it can be a great, it can be like a great indication of maybe what you could be doing, right? Or like what could be next for you, or, you know, I feel like, you know, sometimes envy, if it's sustained, is like showing you something. I was like, what is it that you want that somebody else might have? Great, because it's also, it's never the truth that you think where someone has something and that's not available to you, right? Like, it's available to all of us because we're all on the same planet here together, right? With all of the same limitations. So it's just like, I think it's a great, like, I refuse to see people who are like further ahead than me at my age and be like, damn it, like, I'm so behind. I mean, I have had those feelings and I've worked on them a lot, but kind of what I've done is I've actually become friends with a lot of those people, you know, and they just open
that.
Me up. They just open me up all the time. And that's how I choose to think about it now. It's very conscious, but I'm like, great, look at what's possible. Look at that, what that person's doing. Look at how many books that person's selling. Look at, you know, what this person's charging for a talk, like whatever it may be. Oh, great. All examples of what we could all do, of what's possible for any of us.
one of my favorite things when I first connected with you on Instagram, which again, I was so like, oh my gosh, I'm so blown away, was that you had a quote that said, and I'm gonna hash it up, but it said, I'm not worried about the chapter because I'm writing the story or something like that.
I don't
remember exactly, but it was so eloquent and so beautiful. And I was like, so enamored with just your insight on all of the stuff that we just talked about. You really are such an incredible person, such an incredible spirit.
Oh, thank you, Michaela. Right back at you, sister. I could talk all day with you.
I loved our time together, and I'm so thankful you're willing to come on the podcast and talk about all these things, because these are so timely, and it's so, you know, ties in so well with the Be You, Find Happy concepts. I just love our conversation today.
Me too. You're creating something really wonderful here. Thank you so much for letting me be part of it.
It's just the start of our journey.
Yay!
I'm going to have to come out to New York and do some of these fun things I see you and Keith
doing. Oh, we're doing all the fun things.
So much fun things.
Thank you so much, Michaela.
Thank you for being here today, and we'll be in touch soon.
Mwah, so much love.
Mwah, bye.
Bye-bye.
This has been a Be You, Find Happy podcast. For more inspiration, check out the links.